So we come to the conclusion of our review of Hebrews chapter 11, this faith chapter of the Bible. What has the study meant in your own heart? Have you come to understand that faith is the absolute assurance and firm conviction of the reality of things the natural eye has never seen? Do you have faith in God? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40 reads, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." Now those verses serve as a fitting summary to this great faith chapter of the Bible. It teaches us that faith's vindication comes with Christ, for its object is Christ Himself. Salvation through faith in Christ is the great promise that God made and repeated over and again through the Old Testament Scriptures. It is the best gift God has ever given to fallen man. Ancient people lived with a confident expectation of the Savior's coming, and their faith made Him real, and God accepted them on the basis of their faith, counting them righteous because they believed. And now we have the reality of the Savior's ministry on earth, and we look up to Him in faith. And God accepts us and accounts us as righteous on the basis of faith. Praise God for our faith and for His faithfulness. All the Bible is built around the idea of the promise God made. The Old Testament is in expectation of it. The New Testament is the realization of it. Old Testament saints lived in faith that God would fulfill His promise. New Testament saints live in confidence that He has fulfilled His promise in Jesus Christ. I am identified with the faith of the New Testament saints because I am confident that Jesus is both Savior and Lord. Now, how about you? Do you know for sure that God has given you the promise and that you have received it through grace? Belief in the promise is based on Bible testimony. It began with the words of God spoken to the serpent and recorded in Genesis 3:15. God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The statement means a son born to some woman at some time will crush the power and overthrow the kingdom of the devil. When Noah came out of the ark with his three sons, God made a choice among them, saying, "He shall dwell in the tents of Shem." Now that means we can expect the Savior to be born in the Semitic branch of the human race. From among the thousands of Semites in the generations that followed, God selected Abram and promised, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." When Abram afterwards had two sons, God chose Isaac, not Ishmael, to be the one through whom the promised blessing would come. When Isaac had two sons, God chose Jacob rather than Esau as the one whose descendants would produce the Messiah. Then when Jacob had 12 sons, God chose Judah among them as the progenitor of the Savior. Among all the people of the tribe of Judah, then God chose the family line of David as the descent to the birth of His only begotten Son. And so it was. The promise was given to the first human parents. It was continued through the ages to the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Several thousand years passed from the giving of the promise to its fulfillment, but God's purpose never changed. Each generation believed the promise and wished that it might be fulfilled in their days. But Hebrews 11:39 says that these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The delay of the promise seems to test the faith of those who believed. Can you imagine each generation thinking God's promise of the victorious man may be fulfilled in their own time, only to come to death without seeing it? Generation followed generation without fulfillment. Why did people continue to believe? It was because they knew God, and they knew He was faithful to His word. Now we might apply to them the words of Jesus to Thomas. "Because you have seen me, you have believed," He said. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Do not doubt when God's promises are long in fulfillment. He who knows all things will give in the best possible time, at the best possible way, at the best possible place. Just keep on believing. God had a great purpose of grace in the delay for His promise. For Hebrews 11:40 says, God delayed because He had provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That better thing which God provided is the New Testament age of grace, in which the doors of salvation is opened for people of all nations on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The family of God will not be complete until the last one who is to be saved has been saved. So only in company with us, with we who trust Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would the saints of old reach their completion as the people of God. One day, many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. I'm glad God waited to consummate the age until we had opportunity to hear and believe. But God is still delaying His coming. The faith is being spread to millions more in our generation. They will be included in the august company of the redeemed with the saints of all ages. What a day that will be when we all stand before God and praise Him for saving grace. We have received the promise in the person of Jesus Christ. God promised in Genesis 3:15 that one day a son would be born to a woman and he would destroy the power of the devil. Jesus is that Son of Man who is also the only begotten Son of God. So when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Jesus is that Son of the woman, promised in Genesis 3:15. But what about the bruising of the head of the serpent? Well, the Bible says the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. That is His purpose. That is His certain accomplishment. Romans 16 and verse 20 promises, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That is exactly what was promised in Genesis 3:15. When you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you gain the victory over the devil. The Christian life is a continuing experience of that victory. It is not a victory we gain by our own effort, but is given to us in Jesus Christ and entered into by faith. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to the conclusion of our review of Hebrews chapter 11, this faith chapter of the Bible. What has the study meant in your own heart? Have you come to understand that faith is the absolute assurance and firm conviction of the reality of things the natural eye has never seen? Do you have faith in God? More particularly, do you trust God to do all that He has said He will do in and through Jesus? Christian faith is a personal confidence in God who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he who believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Trust Jesus today. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Father, having absolute assurance and firm conviction of Your presence with us and care for us, we come to You in faith. Thank You for being patient with us. Thank You for being faithful to us. Thank You for meeting us and saving us upon our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe You, Lord, and we ask for power to trust You more. In Jesus' name, Amen.